let me say something. Maybe not. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. And maybe not the next month. But only one thing is true. I will be champion one day. I promise. I promise.
Everyone calls Brandon Moreno an underdog. No one in his family or his close circle had any pro-level athletic ability, let alone a background in mixed martial arts. He doesn't fight out of a big-name camp, and he'll be the first to tell you.
I know I'm not the most muscular guy on the roster. I know that.
Still, calling Brandon an underdog seems too simplistic. His story is a case study in grit. Throughout his life, there were moments where he had a choice: risk it all or play it safe. And not once did he ever take the easy way out. He has been cut from the UFC. He's lost badly in must-win situations. But when the world tells Brandon he should change course, he decides to dig his heels in and get to work. Brandon isn't just brave, and I say this with a lot of love. He might be kinda nuts. How did Brandon create opportunities for himself? How did he motivate himself to push even harder during the moments when anyone else would have changed course and with so much on the line? When it seemed like he had no chance to succeed in the UFC, why did he keep going? How did he go from UFC afterthought to contender all the way to champion? I'm Megan O'Leary, and this is Becoming a Fighter. Brandon was born in Tijuana, Mexico. His parents worked hard to provide for him and his brother with their family business that they started from the ground up, a piñata shop.
My parents, they had like a real difficulty in their lives because they don't have any money, nothing. Then they built a piñata company and they start to get money with that and giving us a good life to me and my brothers. But they are like working every day, like in the morning, like 6 a.m., they wake up, start preparing everything, all the materials for the work, and they finish the work like 6 or 7 p.m. Definitely, they are their own bosses, but doesn't mean nothing because right. They're working every day, you know? So I grew up watching that.
Sometimes I talk to fighters who knew right away that they could fight, or it was a shared family passion, or they simply knew that they were special athletes at a young age. But Brandon, not so much.
So were the rumors right that maybe you were a bit of a chubby kid?
Oh, definitely. Badly. I had boobs and everything. Yeah, it was funny. Actually, my brother get too much fun with that. He bullied you
with me.
So I finished my school. I went to my house, ate my food, and finished my homework. And all the time, just playing video games. Five video games, junk food, cookies. You know the white Oreos? You know the regular Oreo but covered with some white something? Man, my favorite cookies when I was young.
So yeah, Brandon was not exactly wrestling bears in the mountains of Russia. He wasn't even playing recreational sports or doing much of anything for that matter. Brandon describes his parents as supportive, but they weren't exactly thrilled with how Brandon was choosing to spend his time. So to see if they could motivate him, they tried to bring him into the family business.
My dad tried to explain how to build the piñatas and everything. But at the end of the day, my dad was like very stressful with me because I don't get nothing about the piñata. I just don't have the ability to do it.
Piñata making was not in your future.
No.
So then how exactly did he find MMA?
I was playing too much video games. And one of the video games was Tekken.
That's right. The UFC flyweight division can thank Tekken for creating the monster that is Brandon Moreno.
One of the players was Eddie, and his style was capoeira, and I love it.
Anyone familiar with capoeira knows why it may have caught 12-year-old Brandon's eye. It's a flashy Brazilian martial art that incorporates elements of dance and aerobatics, featuring plenty of inverted kicks. While Eddie from Tekken was the inspiration, things got real when he went to a friend's sleepover. While he was there, he attended a martial arts class.
I went to his practice and I saw everything, like, you know, the bells, the discipline, go to the mat, the respect with the professor and everything. That looks very, very good.
Brandon knew he liked what he was seeing at the gym. All of a sudden, he was interested. Brandon begged his mom to sign him up for a capoeira class. He wanted to imitate his video game hero, but believe it or not, capoeira gyms in Tijuana? Kind of hard to find. He did, however, spot a gym that piqued his interest while driving with his mom.
I was in the car with my parents, and we saw the mixed martial arts gym, Entram gym. And everything was so interesting because in that moment, I don't know nothing about Brazilian jiu-jitsu or kickboxing or wrestling. Nothing like that, but everything looks like very nice. My mom got the information, and next Monday, I start training, and that's it. I mean, in that point, I start training and...
Yeah, when you first started, did you walk in? Were you a natural?
I started training at 12 years old. You know, after 2 or 3 weeks, I did my first sparring session with this kid, 10 years
old. That's very soon.
A little bit. It's fine. But the other kid had 1 year or 2 years training, so he kicked my ass badly. I remember I started to run around all the gym. The gym was very small in that moment, so I started to run around the gym, and the other guy followed me, throwing me kicks and punches. And no, he kicked my ass very bad.
This was the first chance Brandon had to quit. He was just a kid who liked Tekken, and he started sparring and he got his ass kicked. He was humiliated. Most of us would have stopped right there. But instead of throwing in the towel, he went all in. He knew he loved to fight. And now he had a goal. He wanted to beat up the kid who beat him.
You know, I mean, that moment is crucial in my life. I think a lot of people in those kind of moments will be like, no, that's it for me.
Yeah.
Or I just want to practice this. Or I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. But my mentality in that moment was like, okay, just give me 6 months and... we'll see what happens.
Here's the first example of the kind of choice Brandon would have to make again and again. Face humiliation, disappointment, and failure, or completely disregard all the things normal people worry about and go twice as hard towards a goal. Brandon chose to train nonstop. He threw out the assumptions of what he could and could not do. And when he got that rematch...
I say something like, okay, motherfucker, just give me a few months and we'll see what happens. Man, I promise I beat his ass in 6 months.
Oh, wow. Eddie would have been proud. Brandon set a goal and did everything he could to achieve it. It was that simple. He knew his own potential better than anyone else did, even his own parents. So what motivated you to keep going at this point?
Definitely the love for the sport. Because I'm not in this sport for fight or for money. When I started, I did it just because I enjoyed too much the training, the role, the sparring sessions, everything. I love it. But do you remember the guy who I did sparring in that moment?
Yeah.
He was going to tournaments and everything, and he told me about the experience and everything. And that sounds good.
Brandon had his eye line set higher than the guys at his gym. He wondered if he could ever compete with grown men that made fighting their career, even though he was just a teenager.
I start to go to my amateur competitions and start winning and start competing, you know, controlling the feelings, you know, the emotions inside of the octagon or the ring. And I start to develop my abilities and everything. And I start to saw okay, I'm good in this.
It wasn't long before Brandon was tearing up the local circuit, meddling in almost every amateur jiu-jitsu and boxing tournament he competed in. All of a sudden, Brandon was good, really good. And he couldn't find amateur opponents because he was too dangerous. People were avoiding him. The next step presented itself, and he jumped at the chance.
I don't want to say the other guys was scared of me, but I mean, I had too much experience. Every single tournament was very difficult to get an opponent. So that's why my coach and I decided to go to professional.
Brandon, at 17, was ready to fight professionally in Tijuana. Just one problem. That shit ain't legal. Yes, that is lawyer jargon. But seriously, legally speaking, he's considered a child trying to fight adults. To turn pro, he actually needed permission from his parents. Is your mom, though, signing like a permission slip? Because you're underage. Yes. So your mom's helping you fight grown-ass men.
So my dad signed immediately, like, bam. Okay, but my mom started to watch later, like, I'm not sure to do this. She did it at the end of the day, but she started thinking about everything. Like, mom, come on, just do it. Just sign the paper and that's it. She did it.
Now that his mom signed his permission slip, he was ready. How'd that first fight go?
25 or 26 years old, very muscular, big guy. But imagine the Brandon Moreno with 70 years old, a kid, no tattoos, no nothing, literal a kid. I was very, very nervous, but I beat the guy. And everybody was like, shh. And I felt amazing.
Brandon, he still looks so young today. But at the time, he was a baby-faced 17-year-old whooping on adults. Someone suggested a nickname, and it stuck.
I got my nickname from my first fight, the Assassin Baby. I was walking to the octagon and the people started to scream to me like, hey, this kid need to go to the kindergarten, need to go to other place. He don't deserve to be here and everything. And then the announcer say my name like that, like Brandon. He say, baby Assassin Moreno. Like, hey man, I don't like that, why? When the guy started to say me like that, was like, I don't like the nickname. It's not good. But I started to getting familiar with the nickname, and now it's like, oh, I love it. It's fine.
After finding success at such a young age, the Assassin Baby now had to decide whether he was willing to keep fighting against stronger, older, more experienced opponents.
When I'm starting, I did it just because I enjoyed too much the training, the sparring sessions, everything. I love it. And actually, I remember my dear professional fight, I won like nothing, like $50, something like that. Supposedly will be $100, but I had like a cut, so I need to pay to the doctor. Oh. So I won like $50, but that doesn't matter. I remember with that money, they gave me the money in that moment. I went to Carl's Jr., I think so. So I ate some burgers with my girlfriend in that moment, with my wife right now.
Let's be realistic. Brandon, he was making like $50 a fight. There was no obvious path towards a sustainable MMA career, but there didn't really need to be. Brandon was getting by at the pinata shop and fighting when he could. And he was still in Tijuana, not exactly an MMA hotbed. He probably couldn't picture MMA ever being more than a fun way to pay for Carl's Jr. once in a while.
I finished my high school. I had like 1 year off of the school. I was working in the company with my parents.
Making bad pinatas.
I found my place there. I was decorating pinata sticks. I was good doing that.
Okay, perfect.
So, my parents was very happy because I had a part in the company. So, do it. And I was trying to get on a nutritionist career. I was trying to find a college with that career.
This was it. Brandon was going to take the opportunities afforded to him by his hard work, and he was going to go to college and then get a real job. This all made sense to him, as it would to almost anyone. But then he got a phone call.
In that moment, UFC called me about the development program of the UFC. So in 2013, UFC went to Mexico City and they made an tryouts. And the trials was very simple. So I want to see all your abilities. If we think you are good, we take you to Albuquerque, New Mexico, in Jackson's MMA, and we are paying everything, like a room, the gym, and everything, and give you an extra money for food and whatever you need.
Suddenly, the Ultimate Fighting Championship was interested in him. He could have a chance to test himself against the best of the best at Jackson's MMA. A martial arts mecca that established UFC veterans like John Jones and Carlos Condit called home.
Imagine that UFC is calling you for a huge experience and everything, like, oh my goodness.
Brandon had earned the attention of the UFC. For the first time, Brandon felt the pressure of expectations. Was he really doing this? Was he ready to even think about the UFC? Would he have to quit the pinata shop? Well, he was going to find out. And he had to leave Tijuana and go to the United States to do it.
My flight was from Tijuana to Mexico City or Guadalajara, I don't remember, to Houston or Dallas. Oh. I remember when I was in Dallas, I lost my flight and I was very scared, you know, and I don't speak like English and I tried to speak some with somebody.
The troubles at the airport were nothing compared to Jackson's MMA. When he got there, he saw what this new level of competition really looked like.
I was very nervous, you know, because I don't had like too much experience in other gyms. I was trained always in Tijuana, in Entram gym, but I go to other place and train with other guys was new for me. I remember I ate oatmeal and some guy throw a spinning kick right to my belly. Boom! I started to feel bad and I knew in that moment, I need to go to the bathroom to throw everything. Yeah.
Oh no.
And I did it. Like, imagine that, you know, my first day and some guy kicked my ass. I mean, a lot of bad feelings in that moment. Like, I don't deserve to be here. I'm alone. I don't speak English. I don't understand nothing about what they are saying. I was nervous.
For 5 months, Brandon entered training camp every single day, unsure of whether he even deserved to be there. Oh, and Shirley, his girlfriend back home, she was pregnant.
Shirley was pregnant of my first daughter, for Madison, and all of that was in my mind. But I was very disciplined. I was always in practice. I was always training, always there, always trying to learn something, always doing my sparring session, everything. So I did it. I did one day sparring with Ali Bagautino. In that moment, he was like very close from the title. And he take me down. But immediately, I took his back. Both legs, my arms, and my elbow under his neck, you know, ready for the real naked choke. And I knew, he knew he was out. But the motherfucker threw me back and do an slam. So half of my head was in the mat, and the other half was in the floor, the concrete.
Oh my
so
gosh.
He knocked me out.
And then in a flash, his life changed. Shirley called shortly after that incident at training camp. He had to go home because his daughter, Madison, she was on the way.
That changed my life. When I met my first daughter, that changed my life. Because even before Madison, I was a kid, a literal a kid. But when I saw my first daughter was there, like, oh, that girl is mine. I feel like everything changed 100%.
Brandon was a dad. The days of fighting for Carl's Jr. money were behind him. Now, competing in the UFC wasn't just a dream. It was what he needed to do. Not for him, but for his daughter.
The transformation was crazy. I spent 1 week with them, and then I came back to Albuquerque, New Mexico for training. I remember when I finished that developer program, my personality, my life changed like a lot. I remember, for example, in, I don't know, high school, when I was in the school, I was an asshole, man. Like, everything was like, everything is a game, everything is okay. But I started to go with my girlfriend, you know, with Charlie. And then we had our first daughter. And all that stuff changed my mentality, like a whole circle. Like, wow, this is another Brandon Moreno.
He picked up work at his family's pinata business in between his training sessions. He was treading water. He had to make money, but he had to keep training like a pro. He was stuck in a limbo, stuck between reality and his dreams.
I came back to my house and I sat in my family, you know, my daughter, my wife, and I started to talk with myself and say like, man, you don't have nothing. You are very bad in the school. You don't have a professional career. You don't have nothing for that girl. Ah, my goodness. I mean, actually, I started to think about that and I feel like a little bit emotional. My normal day was like waking up in the morning, prepare all my materials for the job, then go to the gym, go back to my house, start to work, eat my lunch, keep working, go back to the gym, and then go back to my house and keep working. And I finish my day like 11 wow. p.m., 12, something like that. That was like 2 years.
Every day he woke up and trained until midnight. He was taking a chance that one day it would pay off. So he bet on himself and desperately hoped it would work out. Because it had to, right?
After scouring fight promotions all around the world, 16 fighters have been found. Get ready for the Ultimate Fighter Tournament of Champions.
As an aspiring UFC fighter, Brandon always had an eye on the Ultimate Fighter. It hit close to home the previous season when some of his sparring partners from the development program were invited on the show, including Yair Rodriguez and Marlon Chito Vera. As he trained in Tijuana, he couldn't help but think, this upcoming season of The Ultimate Fighter seemed tailor-made for him. It featured the flyweight division, and one of the coaches was Henry Cejudo, who he trained with several times before. The UFC already knew who he was through his time at the development program. So when coaches and mentors reached out asking the UFC to consider Brandon for the show, including Henry Cejudo himself, he was called in to audition.
I did my medicals, my interview, and everything. And then the last day, the production told us, okay, guys, so go to your room and we'll call you if you are in the Ultimate Fighter. So, okay, I went to my room. But they immediately called me like, hey, don't say nothing, but you are in the Ultimate Fighter, okay? Come to the lobby because we want to give you a little camera so you can film about your life in Tijuana and everything. Like, oh, fuck, that's fucking amazing. So I went to the lobby, I started the production, they gave me the camera, and I went there.
Brandon's confidence was through the roof. Suddenly, he was in the cast of The Ultimate Fighter. He was even cutting show promos. But things got interesting for Brandon when it came to picking teams. There were 16 fighters in The Ultimate Fighter, and Brandon, he was ranked 16th. Cejudo, who vouched for Brandon to be on the show, didn't even pick him to be on his team. Yikes. Once again, Brandon could have been embarrassed or distraught or disappointed, but here's how he felt about it.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care. I mean, if I want to be the champion of this, I need to fight with everybody. So I don't care if I'm the 16th, the number one. At the end of the day, in that moment, I just want to be the Ultimate Fighter, and that's it.
With that attitude, Brandon could not be stopped. His hard work and relentless pace resulted in one of the best first round matchups in Tough history.
This was pretty much a fist-to-fist battle.
Didn't look like the number one and 16 seed. It was an evenly matched fight throughout the first round. Pantoja realized things weren't going good for him and switched it up.
Slipped in the rear naked choke and that's all she wrote.
You know, I was very sad. I was very disappointed with myself because I lost the first fight. You know, so first fight of the season, I was out of the tournament. Like, okay. But my mind was in my real goal to evolve my game. And I did it.
Even though he lost, Brandon knew he made an impact. And he really made an impression on his coach. One of the best lighter weight fighters in the UFC's history, Joseph Benavidez.
As the person that Coach Benavidez would come home to and talk to about all these athletes, you were the number one pick that he and his team wanted. And he would always come home and talk about how you were working harder at some points than people who were still in the tournament. And that really stayed with people. There were positives, but his stint on The Ultimate Fighter was not the break Brandon had hoped for. He had trained and trained and trained and trained. He had a shot on The Ultimate Fighter and he did well. But he was the last choice out of the 16 contenders. And he didn't even win a fight. So let's be honest with each other. If you or I were in his shoes at this moment, we'd probably look in the mirror and say, listen, I tried, nothing to be ashamed of, but with a spouse and a child at home, I've got to figure out another path. It probably should have ended here, right? Well, that's not how it worked for Brandon. Eventually, his effort on The Ultimate Fighter gave him another shot. At that time, in the fall of 2016, Luis Smolka versus Sergio Pettis was considered a title eliminator. Whoever won would cement themselves as a viable challenger against the long-reigning champ, Demetrius Johnson. But with Pettis pulling out so close to fight night, Smolka was in desperate need of a new opponent.
partially because there weren't many fighters available, and certainly because of the impression he made on The Ultimate Fighter, the UFC called on Brandon to make his promotional debut against a top 10 opponent.
Instead of facing Sergio Pettis, he draws the short-notice UFC newcomer fresh off of The Ultimate Fighter, Brandon Moreno.
Yeah, and Brandon Moreno has a huge opportunity tonight. He has the opportunity to come off the show and start way higher up in the rankings than he would if he waited until the show was at the end of it.
I'm the first guy who take a fight in the middle of the season on Life on TV, so that is a good record in my life. And, you know, in that moment, Luis Smolka was a top 10 of the division. He was number 9. And, you know, he had a long win streak. Like, he had, like, 4 or 5 win streak in that moment, like beating every single guy in the division. And he was like very close for the title contention. And my coach was like, oh man, I don't know. Like, but I was like, we need to take this fight. I know I can do it. Because a lot of guys is like, okay, I have the opportunity. And no matter what happened in the fight, I can take the fight and get this contract. And that's it. But fuck that. I hate that. I feel like angry with that. Like, no. I want to take that fight and I want to beat this guy. And I remember watching his fights before. And I always say, like, I can beat this guy. I can do it. I mean, he looks special, but I can beat this guy. So we took the fight.
Brandon had made such an impression on the UFC in just one fight that they turned to him to fight the number 9 contender in the division. All while The Ultimate Fighter was still on the air. The thing that made Brandon special, his unstoppable will, his contagious good attitude, and insatiable desire to learn and grow, that earned him a chance no one else had ever gotten. And he won.
Declaring the winner by submission due to a guillotine choke, Brandon the Assassin Baby Moreno!
The people can see my face in the video when I fought against this small guy. I was enjoying everything and so happy. I went straight to the fire.
Brandon could finally call himself a UFC fighter. After such an explosive debut, the UFC booked him for another fight 2 months later against Ryan Benoit, which Brandon also won. Brandon won his first 3 fights in the UFC. 3 in a row!
3 in a row in my first 3 fights in the UFC, you know, I felt like in the top of the world.
Oh, yeah.
But then I lost.
After winning his first 3 UFC fights, Brandon then lost 2 straight, including his first main event in Mexico. It looked like the early potential he showed wasn't resulting in success inside the octagon. That, coupled with the UFC deciding to thin out the flyweight division, resulted in Brandon losing his job.
At the end of the day, I lost, and UFC released me from the company. So, ta-da! The worst moment of my life right there. 2018. Horrible.
Lots of people get a few UFC fights. Maybe they even win a few. And then they're cut and never really heard from again. It looked like Brandon was headed down that type of path. After Brandon's release from the UFC, he had to be wondering, was the door on his professional fighting career closing? But he was determined to avoid that outcome.
Why didn't you move on?
Shirley was pregnant again. I needed to pay the hospital. And Madison started to have problems in his stomach. So she was to the hospital for a surgery. First, I was like very scared and very sad, like talking about my daughter, right? Like, fuck.
Of all the times Brandon had felt pressure in his life, nothing compared to this moment. His wife was pregnant again, and his daughter Madison was sick. Brandon's family was in distress, and he had to figure out how he could help them survive.
Everything else, I was like, hey, you don't have money to pay everything. And every single day, I wake up like sad and angry at the same time, with not too much like motivation to go to the gym and everything.
How was he going to earn a living? It looked like a return to the UFC was impossible. So maybe it was time for him to explore other career paths. This was a familiar spot for Brandon, though this time the stakes were much, much higher. Play it safe or go all in on himself and his dream of being a fighter with no guarantee of another chance.
I really believe there was when the discipline came to be part of my life. Because even when I don't have the motivation to go to the gym and put all my energy there, I went to the gym. These voices talking in your mind, like say like, you can rest today. I mean, stay in your bed. Maybe you can go to the gym tomorrow. You feel tired. Just stay in your house. But was like, no. Get off. Let's go to the gym and let's do this. And again, the same feeling like, man, you don't have nothing. You don't have a professional career. You need to do this. From June of 2018 to June 2019, my goodness, what a horrible, horrible season for me. That's why my manager is a nice part of this history after my bad moment. I was like asking him like, man, I need to fight because I need to pay this. I need to pay the surgery of my daughter.
The UFC, that was no longer an option. But there were lesser promotions that were in need of fighters in their 125-pound division. And Brandon, he needed money. Yet again, Brandon bet on himself, and yet again, he delivered.
But I said, like, you know what? Like, fuck it. Let's do it. And I take the fight, and I won.
Days after that win, he got a call from the UFC. This time, Brandon was not going to let go of his spot. He was a different person now, and he had nothing to fear. I mean, he had already gotten cut. He had already faced the fear of not being able to provide for his family. He had chosen time and time again to keep going. So if his next chance came, he would be ready. When you got the call and when you came back, for you, Brandon, what was different about you?
So two different things. The technical part, I never stopped to work. Every single day I was fixing my boxing, my basics, everything. I was fixing everything. The most important thing to me was my mentality. To sit along in my room and think about the past and the bad moments and crying sometimes and waking up like sad and angry and my wife with me, support me in every single moment. To be alone in my room, to think about all of that was like, man, I don't want to be there anymore. I don't want to have those kind of bad moments again because it was horrible.
Brandon knew how it felt at rock bottom. Staying far away from that feeling was all the motivation he needed. Then things happened fast. The UFC threw him top contender after top contender, and he started winning.
Moreno looks like he is ready to take his shots at this division's elite. Certainly a big win for the Tijuana native here tonight.
And winning.
Your winner by unanimous decision, desde Tijuana, Baja California, Mexico, Brandon, the Assassin Baby Moreno.
And winning.
The number one contender, Brandon Moreno, gets it done tonight.
He topped it all off with a first-round TKO against contender Brandon Royval. Suddenly, Brandon had mowed down the entire division and had earned a title shot. Get this, the guy who couldn't even get a spot in the UFC just 1 year earlier now had a shot at UFC gold. After going through five hard rounds with champ Davison Figueiredo,
ladies and gentlemen, this fight is a majority draw, and still champion of the world, Davison Deus de Gea Figueiredo!
What looked like a narrow decision victory for Figueiredo became a draw after Davison was deducted a point in the third round for an illegal low blow. That fight was hailed by everyone, from my colleagues on the broadcast to Dana White, as the best ever in the flyweight division. Fly, guys, forever! That was basically all I said for like hours after the fight. Naturally, the UFC made it a priority to run this one back. And many had Figueiredo picked to win. In fact, betting odds had him at a 2-1 favorite. But what people don't know is that Brandon thrived when no one else believed in him, when the odds felt impossible. Brandon is not the kind of person who sees limitations, he only sees possibilities. So maybe he was the only one who wasn't surprised
when this happened.
And new UFC Undisputed Flyweight Champion of the World, Brandon the Assassin Baby!
So now when you look at all you've accomplished, you're UFC world champion. How would you describe going from the worst year of your life to winning the world title and having that gold belt around your waist?
It's amazing. It's nice. Obviously, remember that moment again, you know, with me in the center of the octagon with all the crowd crazy. And in Arizona, very close from Mexico. A lot of Mexicans there. And I feel like I did it. All the sacrifices, all the years, the roller coaster, the good moments, the bad moments, definitely. Everything paid off at the end of the day. And I did it. And at the same time, I'm very obsessive. And I love to pass the page, like, fast. I don't like to be the guy, you know, with the belt in every single photo, of the belt in the every single event. These guys who, when they win the belt and take a picture the next day with, they sleep with the belt. Mm-hmm. I hate that. I feel like, my goodness. I mean, okay, that happened and it was amazing, but what is next, right? So yes, I mean, the people sometimes they love the trophies and but I hate that. I love to watch what is next for me. But obviously, I'm the champion of the world, and that's amazing.
This show explores one question. Why pursue the mental and physical pain of fighting for a living? Sometimes, personal circumstances forge fighters. Sometimes, natural talent opens the doors. Usually, people fight because they have to. Which is what makes Brandon's story so unusual. He had no exposure to MMA in his family. He just liked Eddie from Tekken. He wasn't forced to fight. In fact, everything in his life seemed to tell him to stop multiple times. But he just never quit. Brandon Moreno is proof that limitations are often self-imposed. He became a fighter because of his ability to imagine a future that no one else could see. At no point was his success a guarantee. But with the help of his family and his coaches, he reached the fullest potential that night, June 12th, 2021, the night Mexico got their first UFC champion.
Let me say something. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, and maybe not the next month, but only one thing is true. I will be champion one day, I promise. I promise.
Thanks for listening to Becoming a Fighter and to Brandon Moreno for sharing his story with us. Be sure to check out Brandon's next fight, the trilogy match between him and Davison Figueiredo, on January 22nd at UFC 270. Until then, I'm Megan Olive, and I'll see you at the fights.